Blog Talk Radio.
If I
Good evening, and welcome to Hard Hits. This is a special show, folks, so it's only an hour long. I'm your host, Derek Felix. We hope you're doing very well out there, wherever you are. And this is Hard Hits Network. This is a show called Injustice for All. Yes, it's kind of a borrowed line. It's from, of course, one of my favorite albums, Injustice for All from Metallica, of course. But we're not talking about music today. No, we're not talking about sports today. I'm talking about our nation. I'm talking about a struggling nation that faces plenty of challenges ahead. I'm talking about a divided country, not what you're seeing on C-SPAN or whatever channel you're watching the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia with our president, Barack Obama, speaking, talking about how I'm talking about hidden agendas. I'm talking about division and how the president has contributed to the division that we see with our country, despite the fact that I voted for him twice because I thought he was the best man for the job. What it comes down to is anybody could change their mind. You could change your mind. You don't have to be a sheep. You can't be oblivious to how certain things are with our country. You can't. And that's what I'm here to discuss. I'm here to discuss how we can make America better, how we could change things for the better. And I'm not talking about Hillary Clinton, who I don't think would be a good president. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump, who also has his own flaws. And I don't know if he can be a good president or trustworthy. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about everybody. Everybody on any given day and what we could do to be better as people, how we treat each other, how we should respect each other more, how we should show more backbone, show a little more discipline in how we are as a society. This show's not about who you're going to elect in November. It's not about the agendas that you see on CNN or MSNBC or even Fox News. It's about us as a society and how we must get better to improve. Otherwise, our country will never improve. It doesn't matter who you elect this November, because if we don't come together, we'll come together as one, and we don't start, we don't start being a little more peaceful and more nice to each other, think of one another, and we continue the violence, and we continue the fights, which don't solve anything, then it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter who we elect. So I could care less, what's being said here by Mr. Obama, who was a good speaker, just like former President Bill Clinton. And they could say all they want about Hillary Clinton, about how she has experience, but they're not going to talk about her issues. They're not going to talk about the lies. They're going to talk about Benghazi. They're not going to talk about the emails. They're not going to talk about all the money that she's made and the corruption. They're not going to talk about how they basically undercut Bernie Sanders during the whole process. They're not going to talk about that. Because this is what politicians do, is they talk. They talk, and they're going to accentuate every positive. They talk a good game. But what it really comes down to is, can they deliver? If it's Hillary, and it's another 4 years, or it's now will be 12 years of the same policies, some of them failed and some of them not. Failed policies when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to just pretty much letting anybody in this country without really doing the right background checks and policies that are just incomplete, then I don't see how it's going to change. Now, we could also talk about the healthcare, Obamacare, something that I really believed in when I helped elect him in his first term. That's a long time ago, believe it or not. It's like, it's 8 years ago. When we voted for him the first time, I really believed in the whole idea of having universal health care. On paper, it sounded great. Everybody should have health care. I think everybody should have insurance. But as somebody that deals with mental illness and anxiety and depression, which a lot of people do, unfortunately, in this country, battle real issues and mental illness, I learned the hard way that all the Affordable Care Act did was make my insurance unaffordable. I went from being on Medicaid to losing Medicaid after I was bad habit the rest of 2014? Yeah. And then I had to pay out of pocket, and then I had to wait to enroll to make enrollment for 2015, and I enrolled. Finally, and I had to pay more money out of pocket to have my health care. And, well, that didn't include the money I was spending, you know, for therapist appointments or other stuff. So it wasn't exactly what it was cracked up to be. What I learned, Affordable Care Act, is that it limited your doctors, limited who you could see. It actually made it tougher for you to keep your insurance and keep your doctors. And it made it tougher if you're struggling with the kind of mental illness that I struggle with. So, and this is something that a lot of people struggle with. They struggle with this. It's bad. We struggle when we see our meds running out and we don't know when we're going to get our renewals or not. It becomes a matter of life or death. Because for the people that are medicated, and I wish I wasn't relying on it, it turns into a circus. You know, it's like it's life or death, basically, just so you could function on any given day. And even with the meds, I still go through battles. I still struggle with heat. I'm still not right. So it just goes to show you. And what happens? Sometimes you make appointments and you visit people and you're not supposed to get charged. And then all of a sudden you wind up with bills in the mail saying that you owe so-and-so when you weren't supposed to be billed for it. So what I have to ask is, how good has the Obamacare been? I would say not good at all. I would say substandard. Maybe it's helping other people out. Maybe if it's helping older people, I'm all for that myself and others, and people who are even worse, mentally unstable, it's not helping. So what about the people that are mentally unstable and then lose their minds and decide to just pick up guns and decide to kill cops or to shoot people for no reason, or because they have a hatred, or they don't, are not mentally right in their head? Well, shouldn't those people, where should those people be? They shouldn't be on the streets. I could tell you that. They should be in facilities, being taken care of, and on the right meds, and not off their med. What I'm saying is there's not enough of that. There's not enough attention focused on mental illness in this country, and it's a big problem. There's a lot of debate about guns. Well, how about the debate about guns? All right. Should guns be harder to purchase? Sure. I would say yes. Should there be tests, be psychological tests? I would say absolutely. Are there bad cops in society? Yes, there are, who have disrespected and committed heinous acts against African Americans, and also against minorities. So there is issues. There are issues that are that can be discussed. Black Lives Matter is something that continues to get stronger and stronger, a movement which I think has lost its purpose. I think the purpose is to make people aware that blacks are discriminated against. This is true. It is true. I have black friends. I'm friends with pretty much everybody. So I can't say that I can, you know, be in their shoes, that I had to deal with the same things that they have to deal with, where they get pulled over, where they get targeted unfairly. You know, I haven't had to deal with that. I guess I'm lucky, you know, because I'm white, I'm Caucasian, I'm Jewish, and I'm a Jewish American. And most people look at me and they think I'm Russian. But I think that when you have people who disrespect things like Blue Lives, which is what happened today in Staten Island, and it was a white person, a white guy, I don't know, he couldn't have been that old. And what'd he do? Someone put up blue ribbons for the three officers that died in Louisiana in that terrible shooting, in that horrible shooting, terrible tragedy. So what this guy decided to do, he decides to rip down the ribbon. I know exactly where he ripped it down. He ripped it down by Castleton Avenue, because I could tell just by looking at the video. Decided to rip it down and talked about black lives. And he teared down police ribbons. And then he says he's sorry. No, you're not sorry. You're not. You're not. You're definitely not sorry. And this is the problem with society, is that it's not the same. It is not the same. There are serious issues. When you have all of a sudden people who, you know, Black Lives Matter, and then some of them, well, a few of them, or, you know, maybe a former Marine decides, well, I'm just going to go on a shooting spree and try to kill as many white policemen as I can, even if it kills one of my own. That's wrong. That's promoting violence. That's promoting an eye-for-eye mentality, something I've heard in Mob Deep songs. Well, there shouldn't be an eye for an eye. That's not right, okay? Do I think that things have to change as a society? Yes. Society has to change. There has to be respect, be more people doing the right thing, more people keeping the peace, respecting one another. That's what it should be about. I mean, there are movies that I've seen which basically exemplify what America's become. American History X would be one, with Ed Norton. And what happens? Because even when he decides to rehabilitate himself and swears off being a neo-Nazi, guess what happens? Costs his brother his life. Costs his brother Derek his life. He gets killed by an African-American who had a gun, who shot him dead in the school bathroom. So the hate, that is the kind of hate that we see today. We see too much of the hate. There's too much wrong. There's too much wrong as a society. I think as Americans, we have to take it back. So you could go ahead and you could support whoever you want to support November 8th. And I think I'm probably going to support Trump because I think he's more in tune with the safety and with the issues. But that doesn't mean that I should be labeled, believe in labeling people. I've heard people have been calling me names that I can't even repeat on this show because it's not right. You know, that doesn't mean I'm educated. I'm pretty well educated, too. I've got a bachelor's degree. I went to one of the top high schools in the country. And I'm well educated. I read. I follow everything. So I think I could think for myself. I've always known I could think for myself and develop my own opinion, formulate things. And I think that's the problem. That's the problem with the society, is that there's a label. There's people labeling. And most of the labeling is being done by my former party, the Democrats. That's where the labels are coming. They seem to think that it's just coming from Trump because he speaks from the hip and he's not politically correct. And I don't think he means all Mexicans. when he talks about deportation. I don't think that at all. I think that there are some people coming in illegal over those borders that are bringing drugs into this country, bringing guns into this country, and it's creating more crime. And that has always been true. It doesn't mean that there aren't good immigrants, people that immigrate over and want to have good lives. And, you know, you can't label. It's like, it would be like labeling Brian. Brian's an Italian. Brian Sanhorn's an Italian. It'd be like saying, oh, you're all associated with the mafia, or, you know, Godfather, what we've seen, you know, with Gotti and John Gotti and Godfather of Corleones. No, that's not how it is. A lot of people come over here and they want to build lives. They want to provide for their families. Does there need to be reform on immigration? Yes, there does, because there are also a lot of evildoers, and I'm talking about radicals, whether it's radical Islam or people of ISIS who come into our country, and they're coming in for one purpose, to kill our own people, and is wrong. That is dead wrong, and no one is right about that, whether it's left or right, whoever you represent. We should want those people out. And that's why there needs to be reform. And there needs to be more safety measures taken. Do I believe, you know, in the Second Amendment right for guns? Hey, if you are someone that is pro-gun and you have a gun and you want to shoot for fun and you want to hunt, why can't you carry? Why not? But if I do think there should be standards in every state, and I think it should be the same for every state. It shouldn't be so easy to get a gun, where it might be easier to get a gun in Texas, where it's not as easy to get a gun here. I think there should be better laws. So should there be more gun control? Yes. To a certain standard, yes. Should there be psychological tests? Yes. I think so. I think there should be psychological tests. I think there should be background checks. And I think there should be a lot more. There should be a lot. I think everything should be different. Whether it's our veterans who continue to suffer and are not getting enough money and enough support from America, even though you have Obama and Democrats talking out their ass as if they are. And every time I've spoken to a veteran on the phone at my job, it seems like they've always needed more money and they're always looking for jobs. Why is that? Why is that? You have to ask that. That's a serious question. You know? It's not always about politicizing, which Mr. Obama does because of his background. You can't always politicize everything. There are a lot of good Muslim Americans that live here and live in peace. But are there radicals? Yes. And I wish that he would just identify it, but he doesn't want to. Too safe. And sometimes safe is not better. Sometimes you need a leader that's going to be stronger. But I think at the end of the day, we all have to be leaders. We have to set proper example. We have to lead. I have to lead. Every day I try to lead by example. I try to treat everybody that I come into contact with respect. I try. People that I speak to on the phone, some of them I can help, and some of them, they don't even give me the time of day, and I perform customer service. And some of them are very mean. And you know what? I don't have time for mean people. And you know what? I'll give it right back to them. Some of them, they can't speak a lick of American. And I'll ask, you know, Spanish or whatever. And I say, I can't help them. Not everybody speaks Spanish, unfortunately. But I think that as a society, we just need to fix things. We have to fix things. We have to be better as a country and not be so divided. So it doesn't matter who you're going to support on November 8th. The only way it's going to get better is if we heal as a society. So that is Derek Bielek's big solution. to this. All right, I'm going to open up the lines. So I do see someone lining up on my line right now. He is late to the show, and well, that's okay. I said a lot of things that I felt like I needed to say. So bring in our sidekick with a half an hour to go, and call in number is 424-675-8226. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to change? What are you going to do to be better to each other? It's a serious question right here. And we'll bring in Mr. John Gianorio, a guy that is respectful and is a good guy. And it's one of the people that I know I could count on, one of my good buddies out in Jersey City, Mr. John Gianorio.
Hey, yeah, sorry I called in late. I thought from what you were saying that you weren't doing the show.
Well, if that
figures,
then
I asked
okay.
You said no.
I was screwed around with you. I mean, brother. I mean, you got to take everything I do literally.
When I said I'm in, you said no.
Yeah, I did that. I did that as a playful joke. Just like everybody does playful jokes to me, I decided to do a joke to you. All right, let's get with it. There's 30 minutes left. I've been talking about how an injustice for all as a society. We need to be better as a society, no matter who, no matter which person gets into office. And I think that's the real issue with our country.
Yeah, I mean, the country has a lot of issues. The Democrats just seem very out of touch with what they are.
Well, it just seems like they've pushed further and further away from what they used to stand for. And that, to me, is very upsetting because I've been a Democrat, you know, since I was young.
I know. And they've kind of moved away from you.
Yeah, I mean, they used to be, you know, I've always been, you know, pro-civil rights, you know, pro-choice. So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, well, of course, you know, equal rights and equal pay and all that good stuff. But I just don't see the same party anymore because I see a lot of corruption and I see stuff like what happened with Bernie Sanders and being undermined, and I see supporters protesting. And to me, that's not what being a Democrat's about at all. It's not. How could I support that? Some people they'll support it until the end because they are not thinking with their heads; they're thinking with their hearts. You know. And maybe they're not even thinking at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of them aren't really thinking.
So, I think that you have to formulate your own opinions. You have to come to certain conclusions, and you have to just figure stuff out for yourself. And, I figured out a lot of stuff. So
what are you thinking these days?
Well, I think that there's just too much hate. There's too much anger. There's too much disrespect between people. There's too many people who forgot about 9/11. And how you're supposed to treat each other. There's too much of this, I'm better than you thing that's happened. It's like they forgot what America was about. They forgot what America's about. And that includes Mr. Obama, who politicizes too many things, maybe because he's weak or because it's just the way he is. But I think what it does is that it creates animosity and frustration for people like myself who actually see that it's not as good. There's more separatism today. That's how I feel. and undermining, even though it's not supposed to be that way. It's not the same party. And it's not the same country. So when they say to Donald Trump, well, America's great already, they're lying. America used to be great.
Yeah.
America was great. Not great anymore. And how does it become great again? Well, I think sometimes it takes a lot for it to become great. It takes less violence. It takes less anger. It takes the Black Lives Matter movement. Stop thinking of, with the radicals thinking, oh, eye for an eye, and just doing peaceful protests to serve its purpose about the discrimination they do face, which is true. It takes a lot of recognition, you know, recognition by people to do the right thing as a society. So you could either be blind and listen to whoever you listen to, or you could take action and take the first step, whether it's by making a friend on the other side or talking to someone normally, even if they're giving you shit, and making them realize, you know what, this is not how I was raised, and this is not how you were raised. It's about finding peace, finding common peace and common ground. That's what it should be about. And that's what I'm about. That's what I'm about tonight and in the future. Derek Felix, for a better America and for a better society. That's where we are tonight. So, as Mr. Obama continues to speak and preach to his loyalists, I'm preaching too, JPG. I'm sending a message of peace, a message of treating everybody the way they want to be treated. That's what I'm preaching, okay? Stop the violence. Stop the anger. It's time for society to come together. That's what it's for. That is what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be fighting. Unless, of course, it's an old-fashioned Derek Felix versus JPG battle about baseball.
Yeah, those are the only kind of battles that really need to be fought.
Sports battles, that's different. It's fun. It's good nature.
Yeah, it is fun.
There's ribbing. And I hear plenty of both battles.
You are the king of ribbing.
Yeah, and ribbing, that's the only battles that there should be. There shouldn't be battles on the streets. There shouldn't be warfare. What do you think Axl Rose was talking about civil war? I don't need your civil war. Feeds the rich and it buries the poor. A song that I saw performed at the MetLife Stadium, one of my favorite songs. Well, to me, America is at civil war right now. And that's bad. That's not what we want to see. We want to see an America that's together, not an America that's apart. No more. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
no
I
more
agree
civil
with
war.
You.
I'm looking at the I actually just punched in Guns N' Roses to see what's going on here. According to their production manager, the reunion tour that they're doing, this Not on a Lifetime reunion tour, does not have an end date, says their production manager. What does that mean? how many more shows are they going to do? I guess that would be the question to ask. They're getting ready for their concert in Atlanta. So I think it's tonight, their concert in Atlanta. So I think that this place that we should be celebrating good stuff, whether it's just being able to celebrate life, being able to celebrate stuff, go out, go to a concert, I don't know, go out and eat something or whatever. We should be able to embrace what we can when we have the chance. So
I agree.
I don't need to see celebrities push agendas like Elizabeth Banks saying, oh, go to HillaryClinton.com and give your support and put any money you donate. Why do they need money? This is something
they
that
don't.
I don't understand. They don't need
money. They don't.
They have
no.
plenty of money. They have plenty
yeah,
of money. And this is,
of course.
And then this is something that I don't understand. You know, I mean, if I was a politician, right? If I went into politics and I got rich, would I ask for your support? Would I ask you to always pledge, like, that I need every ounce of money if I was rich? I would hope not. I would hope
Hillary
not.
Hillary Clinton is worth, like, $150 million. She does not need money.
She does not need the money. Exactly. 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 Man, I'll tell you. Tell you one thing.
Well, you know what, Derek? I mean, sorry?
Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I hope that this election turns out the way I want, and I hope that leads to change, and I hope it leads to positive things for the country. But, I mean, if worst comes to worst, you know, we still have our friendship. Friendships like ours, like you and me, we have each other, and no matter how bad things get, they can't take that away from us. And so, yeah, it's a bit of a scary time, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know. I think at the end of the day, we kind of always have that, and I just try to keep that in perspective when stuff gets kind of bad.
Yeah, there's always going to be bad stuff. There's always going to be, you know, I mean, there's just too much fighting. There's too much fighting over, oh, I'm right, you're wrong. Or you're wrong, I'm right. I might be right about certain things. Maybe you might make some points that could be true about Trump. Which, he's not a perfect candidate. There is no perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. Most
nope,
of these politicians,
there is not.
When it comes to the politicians, they're liars. They say what they're going to do, but they don't always deliver on the promises, as the great Obama hogs Hillary Clinton. Oh, God. What a nightmare. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, you know, who can deliver? Who can deliver the results? I think that's something that Trump said. He wants to be judged on results, not what he says. I'm not a politician that wants to be judged on results. So I'm willing to give this guy a chance. Does it mean he's right for the country? I don't know. But you know what? I do understand that whoever gets elected, that shouldn't be cause for protests or for violence. There should be change in the people and the way people act and how they carry themselves. You know, I think everybody should carry themselves civilized to the cause. That's how it should be. There should be more civilized people. That's what I will say. So, I'm thinking about civilized. I'm thinking about being, just setting example. I got friends. I got Mexican friends, and they're great. I've got friends that are black, and they're excellent. I got friends that are Spanish, and they're great. And I got friends that are American, and they're awesome. So, I guess you could say Derek Fields has the best of both worlds when it comes to friends. I do. Because your friends come from all different backgrounds, as you know. We all have different backgrounds as families. We're raised, I think most of us are raised the right way. And that's, some people are not always raised so perfect, you know? But I think you were raised pretty well, weren't you?
Yeah, I think both of us were.
That's right. So, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter who makes office in November. It's about how people treat each other and how we're going to change as a society. So, that's my message. That's my message going forward, is that we need to be better. We need to show more heart, more compassion, more understanding. That not everybody is, not everybody, people deal with stuff. Not everybody, some people deal with more than others, you know, which is something I understand. I have a pretty good understanding of that. You know, I'm pretty much day to day every day. So I've worked 3 out of 3 days this week. So things are going pretty good. Things are going pretty well. Three out of three days.
That's good to hear, man.
With tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. No days off. But every day, day to day, day to day, that's how it is. That's how it is. And that's what I'm talking about. 424-675-8226. The name of the show, by the way, is called Injustice for All, JPG. Do you know what Injustice for All is from? Can you remember what Injustice for All is?
Injustice for All.
Injustice for All. Yes, it is. You got it. It's from a famous Metallica album released 21 days before your third birthday, JPG. On August 25th, 1988 is when it was released. One of the greatest albums ever. Metallica and Justice for All. This is a different kind of justice, though. All right? This is about justice. A justice for truth. A justice for everybody. That's what I'm thinking about tonight. I'm not thinking about anything else right now. I'm thinking about a bigger purpose, JPG. Do you believe in God? Are you a believer?
I am agnostic.
So you don't believe in God?
I'm uncertain. Okay. I don't believe and I don't disbelieve.
Okay. Well, I believe in God.
What about you? Yeah?
I believe in God. I do. I think there is a God that exists. Now, a lot of people would say, if they're atheists, well, if there is a God, why are there so many bad people? Why are so many bad things happen?
That's such a weak argument.
I can't answer that. You know what?
Yeah. That's weak.
I think it's about belief. Like, God has got to be through some things. So, I think that if you're good and you believe, that, you know what, God can help you. God can help you, even when you're struggling. And that's what I've started to believe. Now, I spoke earlier about something that happened today. Maybe I linked it up too, maybe I didn't. I don't know how old he was, but he decided it was a good idea to tear down police ribbons. He tore down police ribbons for 3 officers that died in Louisiana. It's Staten Island, of course. The pits of the world. In Castleton. He was caught on video doing it. And then, of course, he says, what I did was wrong. Do you really think he thinks what he did was wrong? Or is it just about Black Lives Matter? I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
I think it's about
sometimes you have to think before your actions, you know? Think before your actions. That's what it should be about. He took a bad action and got caught on camera. How do you think he feels? Everybody knows who he is. They have a picture of him. He could be tormented. Pulling down blue ribbons. Why? Why do it?
Because they're dumb, man. And they just do these thoughtless things.
Well, And he realizes it's wrong, and now he's getting threats. He doesn't feel safe anymore. Well, I think sometimes you have to think about your actions. You have to think about your actions because your actions have a reaction. So, is this a man that has a job? Yes, it is. He is the owner of a salon, actually, at Richmond Road in Doggett Hills. Well, actually, no, he's not an owner, but he was working in the salon until about 3 weeks ago. So, who knows what happened? But you have to think. Sometimes you have to think before you speak, Mr. G. Dorio. Imagine that.
True.
What if I told you, right? I have a hypothesis. Hypothesis, JPG. My hypothesis is that Albert O'Mora's play in center field made Billy McKinnon expendable. That's my hypothesis.
Billy McKinnon, he was always expendable.
Okay.
No one made him expendable. He's been expendable. The issue with that trade is that I just don't like giving up a top 15 prospect for a relief pitcher. A relief pitcher who's going to be a free agent after this year.
Okay. And that is an opinion that you have shared and are supported on. So, not disagreeing at all. And I think that's the whole point, is that there doesn't have to be fights over opinions. There can be reasonable responses without yelling and screaming, without us screaming over each other. That's what it should be. You know, it's about finding that peace. It's about finding peace. You know what I learned tonight? I learned that Hillary Clinton's running mate, his name is Kane, that he might be one of the worst speakers I've ever heard.
Oh, he was terrible.
With his mocking Trump voice, it was pretty childish. It wasn't fun to watch.
So, are they really this clueless about where the country is at? People are scared and people are angry.
Wow. I mean, they obviously are out to lunch on certain things. So, what does it all mean? You know, I think it's time for JPJ.
What?
I think it's time for us to write in Harrison Ford for president. A man that could get things done. Harrison Ford, get off my plane.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I think Harrison Ford should be the next president. God bless you. Bless you. You sneeze.
Thank you.
On air. You have
Sorry
a very
about
weird
that.
Sneeze.
Yeah, I do.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard you sneeze.
Really? I think I've sneezed on air before.
Well, it certainly is bizarre. It's a bizarre sneeze. I mean, everything, sometimes patience is something that we have to be part of, you know? It's got to be a little more patience. Like Guns N' Roses. All you need is just a little patience. Patience. Hey, Guns N' Roses fans were patient for 24 years, man. 24 years. Took them 24 years.
Boom.
To get back on the stage together. Ah, crazy. Boom. Patience. Are you patient or are you impatient? That's right. You're a Chicago Cubs fan. So you must be patient. You're from Chicago.
I don't know. Yeah, up until the Cubs got Theo Epstein, I just never thought they were going to win. So I kind of gave up on it. And now that they have this team, I'm not worried about it because I'm pretty confident that they will eventually win, whether it's this year or not.
Will you win? That's the question. Will JPG win?
I'll be pretty happy. I'd like them to win this year and just get it over with so that I can just kind of go back to just sort of enjoying baseball. But I figure over the next, like, 5 years, they'll win the World Series.
And Jason Hayward will be the MVP.
I have no idea.
It could happen, right?
Well, I guess anything could happen. Oh, Chapman pitched tonight. I didn't realize that.
Oh, people were very excited about his debut, about his throwing arm. I know that.
People should be worried about Body by Jake.
Oh, really? Why is that?
He's struggling, baby. Much like the matter.
An admission. So is this an
admission? He's still better than whatever Mets crap there is.
That Jake Arrieta might not be all he seems to be, or might need some rest. It's possible.
No, he doesn't need rest. He just wasn't as good as he looked last year.
I don't think anybody could be that good for that long. I think it's hard. I think it's darn near impossible. I mean, he went like a 2-month stretch where he was allowed like half a run a game. Not even. That's impossible. There's no way you could live up to that. I don't think any normal person could do that. Even Clayton Kershaw. I think it's just very hard. You know? That after a while, it takes a lot out of you. You know? But the Cubs
I think Kershaw will be fine.
Well, we hope so. But what isn't fine is seeing anger and violence and angry people, you know, just starting fights. No more fights. No more stage fright. That's right. It's time. It is time, JPG. It is time.
Vader time?
Aroldis Chapman time.
He's
about to go on a tear and strike out like about 50 guys probably in the next 3 months. Get ready for it, JPG. Got the best bullpen in the major leagues now. Doesn't that excite you?
The Cubs have the best bullpen? Yeah, I guess that's true.
I believe they do.
It's top heavy, though. They really only have those four guys. Everyone else is kind of crappy. But I guess four good guys is kind of a lot. So, yeah, maybe they do.
I think they do. I think they definitely do. The Mets had a tough loss tonight. Their closer, Jury Stability, finally lost his streak. His streak finally went bye-bye. And who would do it other than the guy who ended the Mets season in 2006, Yadier Molina, with the double. Same guy who hit the big home run in that game 7. St. Louis Cardinals, they still have the Mets number. Yadier Molina and Colton Wong with doubles. And the Cardinals get 2 runs off Jury Sevilla and pull out a 5-4 win. The Cardiac Cards. By the way, the Cardiac Cards are now half a game better than the Mets, the standings. So, yes, JPG, the Cardiac Cards are right there for the wild card, that second wild card. The Cardiac Cards. JPG, they can't be killed. You can't kill them. Can you? How come you can't kill the Cards?
I mean, you can't kill anyone in baseball these days, right? Like, with the 2 wild cards, you just have to be, like, mediocre and you get into the playoffs. So,
are you saying that the Kansas City Royals still have a chance?
No, that I'm not saying. I won't even go as far as calling them mediocre.
Pittsburgh Pirates still have a chance?
Yes, a good chance.
They do.
Yeah,
I see Garrett Cole pitched a 3-hit complete game. Not bad.
I think only one of those two teams is going to make it, though.
Between the Cardiac Cards and the Pirates?
Correct.
The Pirates? So
I'm
going to
say... Sorry?
Does that mean you're throwing in the towel on Rob's Marlins?
Okay. So I'm going to say the locks, as I see it, are... Actually, you know what? I'm going to say this. The playoff teams are going to be Washington, the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Dodgers. I think the Pirates are done. I changed my mind.
I think you're right. I think those are going to be the playoff teams.
Yeah, I think that's relatively set. In the American League, I think it'll end up being... Indians are a lock.
The Astros.
That's the only team I would say is a lock. I would expect the Astros to win their division.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a lock, though.
It's not a lock.
I think it's very likely. Like, I'd bet a decent amount of money on it, but I don't think
Both Houston and Texas will make the playoffs. They're both going to make the playoffs.
I don't know about that. I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle jumped Texas as well.
Seattle has come back and it's been pretty solid. That is true. Yeah.
So I'm going to say this. I'll say that it's going to be the Indians and two teams from the West and two teams from the East.
Okay. So we have a couple of mystery teams with the AL East local. Okay. Interesting.
I mean, if you look at run differential, you would think it is going to be Toronto and Boston, but...
I'm more so with Toronto than I am Boston right now because their pitching's better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. I think they're in good shape. I mean, they haven't played as well as they can, and they're still like a pretty close second, so.
True.
When is the trade deadline?
July 31 in the afternoon.
I think they should make a trade. They should go for it this year.
The Blue Jays?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they could. Let's Bacalas had a good game tonight for the Astros. 10 strikeouts against the New York Yankees. Nice game. Miss Tanaka gave up 4 runs tonight. And a guy by the name of Luis Severino came out of the bullpen for the Yankees and pitched 2 scoreless. And his new run.
Oh, a guy by the name of.
Yeah. He pitched 2 scoreless, 1, and struck out 3. Out of the bullpen.
I love you, Flex.
Well, he is back. He's back in the major leagues. But he's being brought out of the bullpen now. Interesting.
How do you feel about that?
I don't think it's that bad. You know, maybe it will help him in his development. You know? It might be temporary. I mean, the Yankees still might be trading one of their starters, but maybe keeping him in the bullpen for now is not a bad move. We'll see if he has the temperament to develop. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to use too much of his arm. So maybe it will work. I don't know. That's interesting. You know, they needed to, like, add another arm, I guess, for the bullpen. So, you know, aside from bringing back Adam Ward, who fell apart with the Cubs, but he pitched a scoreless inning for the Yanks tonight. Yeah, put Severino in the bullpen. So, see how that goes. We shall see, son.
We shall see, son.
Mr. Sanhorn, I wonder what Mr. Sanhorn thinks about that. When Rob Davis.
I'm
Robert
surprised
Davis,
he hasn't called in.
Brian Sanhorn is a very odd individual.
Is he still active in the Facebook group?
I don't know. I haven't really checked.
No.
He's been pretty quiet today, actually. Brian Sanhorn. Mr. Sanhorn, the boss.
Man, oh man, man.
Mr. Sailor. Oh, he's in the chat room. I can see that. Brian David. Let's screw around with Brian David for a little bit. Why not? What? Where is Brian David?
You do love screwing around with people.
But I like this. Tonight I will host a special show. Brian Sehar liked my status 55 minutes ago. But he's a no-show, Mr. Sehar. Brian Sehar, an odd person, to say the least. I wonder what Brian Sehar would have added to this conversation, to this enlightening, educated conversation. That didn't have any name calling in it. That didn't have any anger in it. That just was more peaceful. But what would he have added to it? That is the question, Mr. Gianorio. What would he have added? Could he have added anything of substance, Mr. Sanhorn?
He could have added everything, baby.
Check out some box scores here.
Box scores?
See, the Red Sox bullpen still sucks. They lost
True.
To the Tigers. But Xander Bogaerts hit a home run. And Mookie Betts has another RBI. That's 65 RBIs for Mookie Betts. The future of sports right there. Hey, do you know that the pitcher that the Mets gave up, one of the two pitchers the Mets gave up for Cespedes, is one of the best pitchers of the American League already? Did you know that? One of the young pitchers the Mets gave up is one of the best pitchers already in the AL.
Who?
Michael Fulmer.
Oh.
They traded him in the Cespedes trade.
Cespedes came from the Red Sox? Is that correct?
Cespedes came from the Tigers.
So the Tigers got
the Tigers.
From the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Oh. Good for the Mets, baby.
Michael Fulmer's pretty good, though. Michael Fulmer has a 2.50 ERA. Dominating. This guy was undrafted, too. He was not drafted at all. He has 9 wins and 2 losses as a rookie this year. 81 strikeouts in 89 innings. Yo, maybe he should win Rookie of the Year. Like, that's dominant numbers right there. Like, what rookie of the AL is having, like, a great year? Like, I'm trying to think. Are there any, like, significant rookies of the AL that are having big years? Can you think of any? Because I'm having problems right now.
I don't know.
I can't think.
Doesn't seem like there's a lot of anything in the American League.
Oh, well, there's that Nomar Mazara guy in Texas, but he's pretty solid. I'm trying to think of it. Like, Mazara's pretty solid. He's a solid player. He's a baller, you know? Are you a baller?
I am.
Jurickson Profar has been pretty solid, too. Now that he's finally healthy and a major leaguer. Jurickson Profar. That's a great name. That's what I call a baseball name. Jurickson Profar. Or Jurickson? Jurickson? Jurickson Profar? Oh, man. How about Jurickson Profar? Jurickson.
Oh, boy. How's
Nomar
he doing?
Nomar Mazara is the leading hitting candidate. He is .282 with 12 home runs and 40 RBIs and 41 runs scored. He's a good player. But I'm starting to think that maybe that pitcher the Mets gave up, Michael Fulmer, should be the rookie of the year for Detroit. He continues to pitch well. If he gets to like 13, 14 wins, then guess what? That's a very interesting trade, isn't it? Cespedes
True.
For Fulmer.
Well, my opinion of Cespedes is not very high, so you know where I come down on that trade.
Well, Cespedes does have 21 home runs, I think. 60-plus
RBIs. Is that
a
lot? That's not really. Is that a lot?
That's
not a
lot.
I mean, for a guy that doesn't hit for average, doesn't walk, and doesn't play defense?
Oh, come on. I mean, he's on pace for 30-plus home runs. I mean, how could you say that? I mean, that's pretty good. That's good production. You know, not everybody puts up those numbers. He hit a home run tonight, actually. In their loss. What was that number? How many home runs is that? 22? Well, yeah. He puts up numbers, you know? He puts up numbers. Is he a free swinger? Yeah, he's a free swinger. No doubt. He's a very streaky power guy. That's what it says. I think we would agree on that. But as I'm watching highlights here of the Cespedes home run, he got a hanging curveball from Wainwright. He put it into almost the second deck. That's got to be at least 400 and like 15 feet. That was a shot. That was a shot right there. Let's see here. Jonas Cespedes, you know, he's hitting .297 this year, JPG. He's actually hitting for average. Yeah, I mean, he's hitting for average this year. .297, the 22 home runs, 58 RBIs. Good production from Jonas. His name is Jonas. What is your name, JPG? What is your nickname? Do you have a
nickname? My name is Metsuk.
No, come on. Don't you have a nickname, man? You gotta have a nickname, a tag name, maybe. No?
I don't know. You know me. What's my nickname?
Statmaster?
Heartbeat Faster.
Didn't your friends ever give you a nickname in school? Never were given
no,
a nickname.
I wasn't.
They didn't
I'm not like you.
They didn't call you mathematician or math.
No, believe it or not, you're the first person to ever do that.
Hey, the Royals actually called up Raul Mondesi. So they're getting a look at Raul Mondesi. He got two hits tonight. So, yeah, I mean, if your team basically looks like you're done, then you may as well get a look at some of your prospects. Raul Mondesi drove in his first RBI. So, Raul Mondesi Jr., now on the Royals. Raul Mondesi. Oh, feck. I cry. Mr. Giadoria. Did I see the Giants lost again? Oh, God. They can't buy a win. Man. They really can't buy a win. I mean, you're losing 2-1 at home against the Reds. You know, the Reds own the Giants this year. I think the Reds beat the Giants at least. They've got to have at least 7 wins against the Giants. And they got Dan Straley outpitched Madison Bumgarner, who, of course, went 8 innings. He always goes at least 8, it seems. But, you know, Bumgarner has a 2.09 ERA, JPG. But he's only got 10 wins. He hardly gets any run support. If Bumgarner was on another team, he'd probably have at least 15 or 16 wins by now. He doesn't get run support. 105 pitches, 76 strikes. And the Giants have guys like Javier Lopez and Hunter Strickland out of their bullpen. That's brutal. That is brutal. I mean, they don't have a bullpen. You know, the Giants really should call the Yankees about Andrew Miller, and they should make them an offer already. I mean, if they make an offer they can't refuse, then you do the trade. It's that simple. I don't think, personally, I think the Yankees are going to keep Andrew Miller. I don't think they're trading him.
Yeah?
They're going to keep him. Because they think they could still make him run. That's what I believe. They still think they're in it.
I mean, given that they got such a king's ransom for Chapman, they don't need to trade him.
Yeah, but imagine what you could get for Andrew Miller with that contract. After what they got for Chapman.
I don't think they could get much more. That's the best package I've ever seen a relief pitcher go for.
What about the Nats? What about the Nats? The Nats bullpen's terrible.
Do the Nats even have a prospect is that good?
Lucas Giolito. Lucas Giolito.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if the Nats are as stupid as the Cubs are and willing to do that. So I can't say.
I'll take Lucas Giolito right now.
I'm sure you would, but it takes two teams to make a trade, Derek. And the fact that you're so enthusiastic about it means it's probably not a great deal for Washington.
It's probably not going to. Well, of course not. I was being facetious. You know?
I'm sure you were.
Yeah, of course. What else? What did you really think, man?
Man.
All right, so I'm setting a price. $30. $30, Mayan. Is that right? Is that fair?
You're setting a price for what?
Block Talk Radio, $30.
$30 for me?
$30 a month? I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I can pitch in $30 a month.
Okay. So $30 from here, I guess I'll tell
you. I thought this was always the deal. Like, I told you I would chip in, and you never told me how much it cost. Have you been buying a premium subscription all this time?
Yeah, I invested in it. Yep, I did.
So then just tell me what I owe you for my part of it, and I'll pay you for my part of it.
Okay. Well, let me go and check my records.
You don't have to tell me on the air. Just send me a message.
All right, I will. I will look it
I'll
up.
Pay you
and
through
I'll
fa-
get
oh, I pay you through Glorious Facebook.
Glorious PayPal or Facebook? What?
Yeah, whatever. No, Derek, I always intended to split the cost of this with you.
Nice. Well, excellent. Now we just have to get Brian and Rob Davis together so they could have that True Believer show that we've always promised.
So wait, what's going on? Did you have a year subscription and it just expired?
No, the year subscription is still going on. I started it. God, how long ago did I? I think it started at the beginning of the year. Was it the beginning of the year? I forgot.
I don't remember.
Man,
whatever. But yeah, I told you I would. I told you I would split it with you. Of course, I would.
Yeah, we're more than halfway through the year. I think. Yeah, we're basically halfway through. And a lot of
my opinion on that never changed.
And a lot of things have happened, actually, JPG. We were pranked.
I did. We were pranked multiple times.
Isn't that interesting? How did that come to be?
It just shows you how desperate these people must be for material.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was $399, so basically it's basically half of $399. That's what I invested in. I did the small.
It was what?
$399 for the whole year.
All right, so I owe you like $200.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I can send that to you.
All right, great. $399. Basically, this is what basically they give you three options, right? Because I'm looking at it. Like the option I chose 2-hour studio sessions for live broadcast. That's why we do 2 hours. We're able to do 2 hours live.
Right.
You know. Up to 50 guests plus listener call-ins to studio sessions, unlimited podcast episode uploads, outside of studio generate episodes, unlimited media hosting and serving, advanced podcast analytics, which I have, silver support, priority email, live chat, just standard features, you know.
Just email me. Do you have a PayPal account?
I do actually. Yeah, I do
actually. Yeah, I'll pay you on PayPal.
Okay, I'll send it to you actually, and I'll send it to you. What is your email, sir?
My email. You know what? Just text it to me.
You know what? That's actually easier. So let's just do it that way. Okay.
I'd rather not read off my email address over the show.
Oh, heck. Yeah.
You never know what kind of crazies are listening to us. Rosie O'Donnell could be listening to us.
Rosie O'Donnell, oh my God. Oh, the delicious Rosie O'Donnell. Can you believe how nuts I am? Really, I'm nuts. Yeah. Did you not know that? Did you know I was a nutcase? That I was delusional?
I did know that, actually.
I know you did. Brother. God. Okay, so. You want me to text it to you, right? You did say text.
Yep.
All right, so I will send you a text message, right? A text? Is it a text message, like a Mark DeSera message?
Text message?
Text. Hey, he has hit a few home runs lately. I mean, it's still not consistent, though. It's still not consistent, unfortunately. You know? It's unfortunate because, you know, we like Mark DeSera. What if
you wanted
Yankees,
to trade
think,
him for nothing?
You know what's sad? You know, I was right, though, to want to trade him, as it turned out. You don't think I was, do you? Oh, feck. I cry. I wasn't right about it.
I don't think you were right about it. They couldn't have gotten anything for him. You look at the Chapman trade and you say, this is what the Yankees could have gotten for Teixeira. I, however, look at the Chapman trade and say, the Yankees could have not gotten anything near that for Teixeira. They would have had to have eaten a big part of his salary, and they wouldn't have even gotten a guy as good as Bryant.
No, you know what? I think you're right. I think when it comes down to it, you're right. So
he had no trade value. He had no trade value.
No, that is the truth, unfortunately. No trade value.
He had no trade value.
You know what's going to be sad? You know, yesterday was Alex Rodriguez's 41st birthday.
Yeah, he's not doing so good this year, right?
He didn't get to play last night on his 41st birthday. So things are not looking too good for him. You know, last year on his 40th birthday, he hit a home run. He celebrated with a home run. Yeah.
An A-bomb.
Alex, is Alex done? Is this it?
I think so.
Is it over? He had injuries at the beginning of the year. you know, injuries, and Teixeira, same thing. Injuries are factors. But are they going to release him? Will he be released in spring training next year? I mean, what happens? I mean, is he going to get released? This is a serious question. I can't believe, you know, I'm actually mentioning that, but it could happen. Will he get released?
Yeah, he might.
I mean, he doesn't really have much of a future with this team, you know. When you see the direction that they're finally going in, it's tough to say. It's tough to see. You know, careers don't always end the way you want them to end. So, it's, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, brother, I'll tell you. Tough to see. So, what about the Teixeira? Is he done too? I mean, well, actually, that's right. His contract's up. I think his contract is up already.
It doesn't really matter.
So, well, here's a question. Greg Bird is the starting first baseman next year? Is he's healthy? Or are they going to have maybe, or how well will he come back? You know?
I would assume it's his job.
Well, yeah, but like, off an injury, though, you know, like, I don't know. Will there be maybe some competition? I'm wondering about that.
Maybe. I don't think they'll sign. I don't think they'll sign anyone to play that spot, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. These are legit questions to ask, though. Legitimate questions, JPG. When you think about, you know, where things are right now.
Oh, they're saying that LaCroix might get traded.
Yeah, the Mets are supposed to be interested in him. Actually,
he's gonna cost a ton.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Brewers were always gonna trade him. He was supposed to be traded this year. That was a fact, an old fact throughout baseball. The Orioles lost tonight to the Rockies. And Brian really likes this Jonathan Gray. He won his seventh game tonight for the Rockies, limiting the Orioles to one run. Jonathan Gray, he's just over a strikeout per inning. He's in his second season for the Rockies. Machado did hit a home run in this game for his 21st. John Gray has seven wins. He has a 3.94 ERA, but he is a strikeout. He's basically a strikeout per inning. In this game, actually, former first-round pick for the Orioles, Dylan Bundy, a guy that's been worked around very slowly because he had, like, arm injuries. He started in the bullpen. He had no rights to go to the minors this year, so they had to keep him up. Basically, how they started him this year, they were basically pit-rolling him only a little bit at the beginning, right, out of the bullpen. He's now starting for them, right? He actually was perfect through the first five innings tonight, but he gave up a home run. It was broken up on a home run. He went 5 2/3 and gave up 3 earned and struck out 8 batters, actually. So he started to come along. A guy that you wondered if he was even going to be able to, if he was going to be able to, you know, come back. But he was a former 4th overall pick in 2011, Dylan Bundy. He's 23 years old. So he's starting to pitch well for the Orioles since they moved him into their rotation. So, and that, by the way, that was off a 5-inning performance with 5 strikeouts. And one unearned run against Cleveland and a win against Cleveland Indians. So, yeah, he's starting to start now. So, this is a guy to keep an eye on for the Orioles. The Orioles finally might have a young pitcher that can help out their team. So, they have one really good pitcher that's got 14 wins. I think Telman's got 14 wins this year. So that's what they have right now. But the Orioles were losers tonight by the score of 3-1 to the Rockies. Colorado, Nick Hudley broke up the game, perfect game, and David Dahl, a prospect, the first base prospect, also had a home run in that inning. And the Rockies, they post a 3-1 win at the Camden Yards. The Orioles, by the way, are 58-42, Mr. June Oriole. So I think they're still in first place right now. They still are in first. Let's check the standings here really quick. The Orioles are 2 up on the Blue Jays, who have lost. And the Red Sox also lose. They've lost 3 in a row. They're 2.5 behind. And the New York Yankees are 4 behind the Red Sox and 4.5 behind the Blue Jays. So if you're looking at the wild card race. But they have to jump over the Tigers, who are 4.5 behind the Indians. They have to jump over the Astros, who I think lead the wild card right now. They do. The wild card leaders are the Blue Jays, rather. The Astros would be, I think, the Astros are half a game worse than the Red Sox for the second spot. And then you have the Tigers, and then you have the Yankees, and then you have the Mariners. Those are your teams right there. So that's your race. That race, Jude Oriole.
Yeah. Who do you think's gonna make it? What's your prediction?
I'm staying with my Astros prediction. The Astros. Yeah, I'm gonna stay with my Astros prediction. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think it's solid.
Yeah, over the Texas Rangers.
Strangers?
Yeah. On paper, you could make an argument that the Indians are the best team in the AL. But I still don't like their bullpen at all. I think they should make a move. But I don't like their bullpen. I think their bullpen, well, their starting pitcher is good. And their bullpen, I don't know. Their bullpen is a little questionable. Man, I think the Nationals should make a trade. they need bullpen help. Bad. Maybe they should call the Yankees. What do you think about that?
Yeah, maybe they should.
What the hell is this? The Philadelphia Phillies want a top 5 prospect for Jeremy Hellickson? Are they crazy? Jeremy Hellickson? Oh, God. I wouldn't trade them a top 10 prospect for Jeremy Hellickson. Are you kidding me? Why? Because he has a good ERA in July? He's an average starting pitcher. I mean, by the way, the Brewers have put Jeremy Jeffress, their closer, he's also up for grabs, but his asking price is high. The asking price is pretty high.
Yeah.
For Jeremy Jeffress, the closer for the Brew Crew, yes, they want a number one prospect and one or two mid-level guys.
Wow.
Or other. The value of the closer, JPG, your favorite topic.
No, you love it.
Well, I do, actually. I just find it riveting, don't you? It's very riveting. It's exciting.
It is.
Isn't it? Exciting and inviting. And enlightening.
Exciting and inviting.
And enlightening. Yes, sirree. Okay, man, that's going to do it for this show. Tomorrow we're going to do a special show, JPG. Do you know what it's going to be about?
What's it going to be?
It's a secret, but it will be revealed very soon in the chat room. Very soon. All right? All right, Mr. Scenario. All right, so that will do it for this Injustice for All show. A show about treating each other with respect and with intellect and valuing each other in the best way possible. Mr. Gene Oreo, I got one thing to say to you.
What?
And one thing only to say to you.
What?
Ah, yes. I think you know what's coming.
Oh, criminals in this town used to believe in things. Honor. Respect. Look at you. What do you believe in, huh? What do you believe in?
I believe whatever doesn't kill you simply makes you a stranger.
All right, Gene Oreo.
Oh, boy. All right, Flex.
See you all next
show.
Time.
I'll hit
have
you up on
night,
PayPal
buddy.
In the morning, okay?
You got it. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great night.
Yeah, of course. All right.
All right, that will do it for this show. Check out our archive, download on the iPad or iTunes or whatever, the podcast. And, we'll be doing more shows. There's going to be another show, so keep an eye out for that. And do what you got to do as people each day. That's the only thing I can really say. All right, this is Derek Felix signing off with a little bit of Purple Haze. Good night.